Our first scripture is from the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. The Israelites have just been through the wilderness. They're about to step into the promised land, to live in houses they did not build, to harvest crops they did not plant. And God is giving them instructions about giving back to God. So from Deuteronomy 26, beginning at verse 1. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all of the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving to you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and turmoil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down to the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house." And from Paul's letter to the Romans, these first two verses, 12th chapter. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as we open your word this morning, meet us here in these pages in the story of the Israelites, and help us also to have grateful hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Can you think of the last time you dressed up to look your very best, and you were very careful to scrub well and to trim things and to iron and to be your absolute best? Maybe it was a special occasion, a special event, a wedding, a promotion, an interview, some kind of celebration, and you wanted to put your best foot forward and look your very best. It's kind of the idea behind the Saturday night bath. In the days before indoor plumbing, when people mostly used a washcloth and a basin to wash up every day, it was a big chore, but on Saturday night, somebody would heat a big pot of water on the stove, might be a wood stove, and drag in a tub from the back porch and set it up in the kitchen, and you were very fortunate if you got to take the first bath in the clean water rather than the last bath after your siblings had already been in there and washed the dirt off of themselves, and there were little floaty pieces of soap and who knows what else on the top of the water. They might throw a little extra hot water in to warm it up for you, but everything your brothers washed off was already in there for you. I'm so grateful for showers and hot water that we just turn on the spigot. But the idea about this Saturday night bath was, everybody would get clean on Saturday so that when you got to church Sunday, you were your very best. Even if all you had was a worn short shirt and an old pair of overalls, you wore your cleanest overalls and your best shirt and your clean body to church to put your Sunday best forward. And bringing our best, our Sunday best, is a part of our heritage of how we present ourselves to God. Now, I was born in the U.S. Army. I've spent my first years on an Army base, which gives you a kind of tilted view of the universe. But I remember every evening watching my father polish his boots, and it seemed to take a long time. Big black boots. And he always hummed a little tune or whistled as he polished his boots. And even when he left the Army never really left him because he still had this thing about polished shoes. So on Saturday nights when I was growing up, my father would put newspaper down on the floor. He'd line up all of us kids and he'd give each of us a pile of shoes and shoe polish and a brush and rags. And we were supposed to polish the family shoes Saturday night so that you could wear your best shoes on Sunday morning. And they could be all shiny, even if they were kind of old and worn, and they had to pass inspection by Dad. Yes, sir. Polished shoes, your Sunday best, presenting your best to God. Well, when we read about Deuteronomy 26, it comes from this agricultural community where we're harvesting barley and wheat and dates and olives and grapes. And some of you grew up on a farm. Some of you visited grandparents who were farmers, and you have some experience of farming. But most of us just find vegetables in the grocery store that somebody else has already grown and picked, and we're rather removed from that whole agricultural experience. So when we read Deuteronomy 26, how do we put ourselves into this story? Back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, I think it was amazing. Was it the Kincaid children that wanted stars for Christmas, like a real star? That's wonderful. I love it. And acknowledge that God made all of the universe. God made everything. And God said to the human beings in Genesis 1, it's all good. And you human beings are very good. And you are to take care of all of this creation. Because we entered this world totally naked. And we will leave this world without anything. When you were born, you did not have pockets. And there was nothing that you brought with you. You were just kind of a slimy, screamy ball of needs. And somebody provided for you. And everything we have is a gift. The community that shaped us, the family that provided for us, the way God has given us everything we have. And we are not the owners, we read in Genesis chapter 1, of all of this creation. We are the caretakers or the stewards of what we have for a time. So what would it mean for you and I to give our very best, the best of our brains, the best of our energies, the best of our love and caring for our family and for our responsibilities? And if you have responsibilities to care for an older person who needs your help or the people in your life, what does it mean for us to bring our best back to God for all of these experiences and gifts that we have in our lives? Well, one of the ways that we do that is that in the agricultural experience here in Deuteronomy 26, it was when the first olives appeared, when the first wheat was harvested, the best of the first, a portion of the best and the first was gathered up. And before anything else happened, before any use of these products, the best and the first was brought to the house of God. We read to the place of God's name. Let's reread just a few verses from chapter 26. You shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Now, when they were in the wilderness, that was a tent of meeting where they worshiped. And then when the temple was built, It became a replica of the same blueprint as the temple. And we have that same architecture in every first century synagogue and every first century church, where there's a place for the people and there's a railing that separates the place for the people from the chancel. And there is a table for sacrifices and lampstands or candlesticks. And implements for us to offer back to God our gifts as a part of our sacrifice and worship. And we know that the house that was built for God, whether it was the tent or a temple or a church or a synagogue, was never big enough to hold the presence of God. Solomon acknowledges that in his prayer of dedication for the first temple that was built, that no house can contain you, O God. And yet a resting place for God's name, a place for you and I to meet God as we gather in corporate worship and to bring our gifts. So they would bring the best and the first of the wheat and of the barley and of the grapes and the olives and the dates. They bring the best of the first back to God, sanctifying that to God, and then asking God to bless and sanctify the rest of the harvest that they were going to go out and harvest and live on, that it would be bountiful, that it would be enough. So we give our first fruits back to God. We acknowledge our dependence on God. We acknowledge that God owns everything, and then we exist on the rest of the harvest. Now, one of the ways we can do that is to make that gift to the church be the first gift. For me, what I do every time my paycheck hits my bank account and my checking account and I see that it's there, though I don't write very many checks anymore at all, mostly I use bill pay, but when I see my deposit has hit the bank account, I get out the checkbook and the first thing I do is to write a check to Mandarin United Methodist Church. And I do that with great joy, and it feels like a spiritual act of worship to me. First,